Welcome back to another episode of Not Even D2, the podcast covering all the narratives that matter through interviews and conversations with those involved in college sports. If you're watching on YouTube, definitely make sure to hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on any other platform, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, any audio platform, make sure to hit that follow button. We definitely greatly appreciate all the support. Also, go follow our socials at Not Even D2 on Instagram and X. A lot of content coming on over there, so stay tuned. On today's episode, we have Dalian Johnson. Dalian, really a cup, former Gatorade Player of the Year in Massachusetts, had a great career at Phillips Andover, and committed to Penn State out of high school, played 3 years there, and now playing his second and final season at Florida Gulf Coast, where he just finished a season averaging 10.8 points per game, had a pretty good year, and looking to have a breakout year this year. And before we talk more about Dalian, just want to give a quick shout out to my boy, DJ Rondon, who patched us in with Dalian. He plays basketball with Dalian's little brother. They're both in the Florida hoop scene, which is also underrated, but they're both cups and definitely appreciate you, little bro. So thank you for that. And what you got to say about this episode with Dalian, Ruta?
I gotta give a big shout out to Dalian for hopping on. Pretty sure he's the first basically player that's come in that's started straight from Division One, didn't have to take any jumps from D3 to D1. So I think that's kind of cool just for the pod. So appreciate him doing that. And it was definitely a good conversation, man, just talking about his journey from all the way from high school where he played competitive basketball at Phillips Andover, talking about the Exeter Andover rivalry. And then from there, talking about his time at Penn State, like you said, and, you know, some of the challenges or, you know, just memories that he had from playing at that great school to now FGCU, where he's kind of, you know, become a leader on that team. And it's kind of dope to see just the growth from his perspective and how he sees it, how, you know, I feel like he was saying, like, during the episode that he became kind of like a follower when he first got to FGCU. Just coming in as a transfer, but now, like he said, he's like stepping into more of like a leadership role, if I'm not mistaken. So just to hear those things are all great. And like you said, it was a great episode. So I'm definitely excited for the viewers to hear this.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to talk about, I think I mentioned this in a previous episode about like the narrative that the transfer portal has and how it gets this bad rep of making coaches' lives hard or ruining college basketball, making it too hard to build programs. But this is a prime example of why the transfer portal is almost needed in today's age. And Dalian's story is a great example of this. So he committed to Penn State and he was coached by Pat or recruited by Pat Chambers. Pat Chambers leaves that year during his freshman year and they get Coach Jim Ferry, all great coaches, by the way. And Dalian just sticks through that grind. Jim Ferry only coaches there for one season. And now it's another coaching change with Coach Michael Shrewsbury. So now he's been through three coaches and he's only been there for 3 years. And now Shrewsbury gets the Notre Dame job after the 2023 season. And Dalian's just supposed to, while all this turmoil, he's still not playing to the minutes that he wants to play or given that opportunity to prove that he's a hooper. So he's just supposed to just sit on the bench and deal with all these coaching changes without this. Like, he could test the waters, but you guys are saying, like, the transfer portal this, transfer portal that. So Dalian took his chances and went in the transfer portal, which huge respect to him because it's not easy being a transfer, and just had a great year at FGCU. And FGCU's coach is Pat Chambers. So, I mean, that just speaks to why the transfer portal is so useful for these college kids who, you know, they're dealing with stuff at their own colleges. They're not just upping and leaving for no reason. They're looking to produce on the court. And Dalian's really good at basketball. It's not easy knowing how much talent you have and still playing behind guys. And, yes, I know Penn State's rosters have been really good. They've had Sam Sessoms, Jalen Pickett, a bunch of great point guards, shooting guards. But Dalian's also a cup, so he deserves the opportunity. And the transfer portal just provided him with that. And we shouldn't fault these kids or grown adults, men, for wanting to up their opportunity and go seek a better chance.
100%. I mean, I think we talked about it in episodes before. Like, coaches are trying to do the same thing, man. Some of them are trying to move up, you know what I'm saying, trying to find better opportunities. And it's not really thought of, like you're saying, what they're leaving behind in the process, like players that they recruited, you know what I'm saying, made relationships with, and now a new coach is coming in and changing that whole dynamic, right? So it's definitely a good point that you're bringing up. And I just think another thing to add on, too, is just, like, I think we talked about this, like, Dalian said when he transferred to FGCU, like, and, like, something that I brought up, too, like, it's not – he didn't look at it as, like, moving down. Like, it's still the same, like, competition that he was facing at in the Big Ten. And I don't mean, like, yeah, obviously in the Big Ten they have a lot of guards and forwards that are all probably going to the NBA. But it's, like, still these FGCU players – and players in that same conference, like, they're still going to compete just as hard, you know what I'm saying? And his adjustment to playing, his insight on that, I think, was really good for us just to hear and continue pushing that narrative that no matter the level, no matter where you're at, what conference, like, you can still hoop, and basketball is basketball.
I mean, you just hit that on the head. Like, regardless of the division, the conference, like, you're going to get hoopers, and Dalian knows that, so a lot of respect for that insight. But final thing I want to say, and I'm gonna definitely stand on this. I think Dalian is one of the most underrated hoopers in the country. And this FGCU year, this past year, was his first opportunity of getting real minutes. He averaged over 29 minutes a game, and he averaged 10.8 points per game. But I think this year he could be close to north of 15 points, close to 20. I think that, I mean, you watch his film, he can go by people. He can score in the mid-range area, finishes over the rim, and then obviously he's one of the best. I think it's known he's one of the best shooters in the country. I mean, he averaged just over 200 threes a game last year and shot almost 40%, which is a crazy, crazy number. And he knows this too. Like, he's working on all parts of his game, but he knows that no matter what, he's going to be a shooter on the floor. So I could see not only Dalian have a lot of success this year, but FGCU. The A-Sun is a really good league, and we've been following ever since we had Sam Peake on the podcast that went to Stetson. But that's a really good league, and I could see FGCU having a great year led by Dalian. So definitely be on the lookout for what Dalian's got in store. But we talk a lot about, you know, his recruitment processes, you know, out of high school, and then when he entered the transfer portal, what schools he was talking to, why he felt Penn State and FGCU were the right schools for him. We talk about, you know, some of his biggest games at FGCU. He had a game winner against number 7 team in the country, FAU, which is a good story we got from him. And then finally, like, what we should expect from Dalian in FGCU this upcoming year. So it was a really good episode, and let's hear from Dalian. All right, we're here with our boy Dalian Johnson. How you doing today, guy?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Sir.
How was your summer, bro? Like, what were you doing over the summer besides, like, hooping?
Really just spending time with fam. I was at home for a couple weeks before I got back this week. Spending time with my little brother before he goes off to high school. So
now, little bro is tough. I'm not gonna lie, I've seen him play a few times. He's tough. But I'm curious, what you be on outside of basketball? Like, what are your hobbies consist of?
Yeah, I mean, really just talking on the phone with family, friends, staying in touch with people, and also I'll be writing a little bit.
Right.
I can't really record nothing, but I write a little bit, some raps and stuff. So,
that's,
you know,
the
notes app is full.
That's tough, bro. We gotta get you in the studio like this, bro. We gotta get that going.
Yeah, I know, that looks nice.
So we have a good amount of questions, bro. I'm excited for this interview, man. This is definitely gonna be a good one. But we're gonna bring it back all the way to high school. You went to Phillips Andover. And something about me, I don't think you know, my dad works at Phillips Exeter. So Phillips Exeter and Phillips Andover are like huge rivals. So I've known about it's a rivalry that a lot of people don't really know about in terms of like high school basketball, bro. Like, those games have been really good. But just Talk about the process of like attending what is arguably one of the best academic high schools in the country.
Yeah, I mean, just going into it, it really came down to just getting good academics, good education, while also, you know, being in a pretty good league to play basketball. My family, they were always big on academics, so just, you know, my parents, especially my dad, was always on me about getting A's and B's. So I've really been doing that my whole life. And just going there, I feel like I couldn't really pass up the offer. So when I had got in, I applied, got in. It was kind of a surreal feeling because I understand what that school means, and you know all the people that have kind of come from there. So I mean, yeah, I'd say academics was a big part of it, and then just also getting there, trying to like, you know, get there, and just I had more of an opportunity to lead the team, so and kind of be that guy, which I wasn't, you know, I was fine with. So
talking about you being the guy, I mean, you were a 3-star in high school. You broke Philip Andover's scoring record with over 1600 points, which is crazy, and you were Gatorade Player of the Year in Massachusetts, which is also a great accomplishment. So just talk to me about what the recruitment process was like for you out of high school, you know, what coaches you were talking to, some of those relationships, and then ultimately why Penn State was your decision coming out of high school.
Yeah, so I think my first offer was Rutgers. So that was a crazy feeling. It was actually in Florida. So it was in the Big Houses gym. And it's crazy. It's like full circle because I was just watching my little brother play there this past year. So it's kind of crazy. But I was also talking to Davidson and then Penn State and then a few of the Ivy League schools as well. Harvard. I said if I wanted to go to Ivy League, I'd probably go to Harvard just because it's kind of close to where I live. So. But it really came down to, I say, just competition, also academics as well. But I just wanted to play at the highest level, and I felt like Penn State was that for me. And I love challenges, so just challenging myself—that was really my only high major offer coming out of high school. So, well, other than Rutgers, but.
So, talking a little bit more about high major basketball, Penn State's in the Big Ten, you know, you're an incoming freshman. What were kind of your expectations going into your Penn State years?
Yeah, so expectations was to play as a freshman. I think my goals were to at least play, I think it was like 15 to 20, like 20 minutes. You know, you want to start as a freshman too. I mean, don't get me wrong, but just being able to just have the coaches see me as a scorer and stuff. But, you know, everything don't go as planned. But, you know, we had, I think that was COVID. Yeah, that was COVID year. So I didn't play as much as I thought. But I just maintained a positive attitude throughout it all. And it was a pretty good experience overall.
The Big Ten is a ton of great competition. Indiana, Michigan State, Purdue all have long traditions. Do you have any like crazy stories dealing with like fans, or what were some of your favorite memories playing the Big Ten?
There's a lot. I mean, I say playing at Indiana, which I got to do this past year as well.
Mm-hmm. But, and he was frying.
Yeah. Yeah. The first time we played against Indiana, I think it was like a Friday night or something, and just the crowd was just so loud, and that was probably one of the craziest environments I've ever been in. But I say playing at Rutgers, it was their senior night, I think, and that I say that was the top, probably the craziest environment. just the fans and stuff. It was so loud in there. Close game too. So it was just, I say the environments in the Big Ten were just different, you know.
So I was talking to Jacob Granison, who went to Illinois for a couple years. He was talking about how the competition in the Big Ten, like the motor that every player has on the court, is crazy. And one thing I'm wondering about too, like on your own team, like you guys had some NBA guys like throughout your years. Like you had Seth Lundy, you had, if I'm not mistaken, like Jalen Pickett on your team. You had Micah Shrewsbury, who worked with the Celtics, right, for a couple years before he got to Penn State. And I think Sam Sessoms I don't think has been like to the NBA Summer League or anything like that, but he's a really tough guard from Philly. So like, what was that like learning from them, like coming in as a freshman and sophomore and developing your game with them?
Yeah, I mean, you go into that environment with these guys and it's like you kind of looking up to them, but also at the same time you want to, you know, you're competing with them. So it's I definitely learned a lot from those guys. I feel like it kind of fueled my competition a lot more when I got there, or throughout my years there. Also, I'd say my IQ definitely got a lot better as a basketball player. So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that I feel like I show growth. And I mean, those just a couple to mention. Right?
So at Penn State in your junior year, your last year at Penn State, you guys had a really good year. You guys made it all the way to the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament. I have a follow-up question after this one, but I'm just curious, like, what was that experience for you playing in the NCAA tournament? I saw you actually got minutes in that first game, so talk to me about that.
Yeah, so we were up big. I ended up getting in at the end for a little bit. It was just, when I stepped on the floor, I was like, yo, it's crazy. Crazy environment. Because the fans, like, we were the underdog, so the fans were really, there were fans that were cheering for us, so. It was just crazy because I was like lit the whole game, like for my team, like we, you know what I'm saying? We trying to get a win. And when we were up big, I got in the game. I think I had a three on the wing, like open. I was like, yo, this cash. But I just missed it, but it felt so good. Like, I don't know, just being on that court, even in warmups and stuff, I just felt like everything was just, my jump shot was money, and just, I was so ready to play and compete. But yeah, no, the environment was crazy.
I mean, obviously entering the transfer portal is a tough decision, but especially, you know, you were at Penn State for 3 years, you build connections with people around the school, your teammates, your coaching staff, and you enter the portal after that season, making the NCAA tournament after some success. So just walk me through, like, what went into that decision. And ultimately, like, what schools started reaching out to you after you got in the portal?
Yeah, so really what went into the decision to transfer was just, like, it was just another coaching change. And I was like, I don't know if I want to, like, if I want to stay and kind of gamble again, you know what I'm saying, what I did with Shrews, because you get a new coach, and it's like, you don't really know what their plans are, what they're planning to do. So I just thought it was best to just play somewhere else for my last 2 years. And that's when I had schools reaching out to me, like, it was like the recruitment process all over again, really. I think I was talking to URI. Who else? Elon reached out to UNC Charlotte, and then a few other schools. But I just thought FGCU was really the right fit. I wasn't going to a coach that I didn't know, you know what I'm saying? So Chambers, I had played for him my freshman year. He recruited me, so he was recruiting me again. So it just, I don't know, it kind of just fit.
What were your like early thoughts of like playing mid-major to now, like coming down from, like, I guess not really coming down, but from playing Big Ten basketball to then, like, coming to FGCU, like, what were the differences you saw early on?
Definitely. I mean, I wouldn't say competition. It's a real competitive league. But I'd say probably physicality. I mean, it's a physical league too, but like the size of guys in the Big Ten, it's just different because you have like those Big Ten bigs that are just crazy at their position and stuff. And then the guards as well in the Big Ten, they, you know what I'm saying, they really built for the league. So
yeah, they're getting ready to go.
Yeah. So I'd say that was definitely a difference. But I don't know, other than that, competition-wise, I'd say, you know, competition across, I feel like all divisions in basketball is probably pretty much the same. I mean, there's a lot of hungry guys, so just trying to come out there and kill you. But no, I like it. I like it. So
that's why I didn't want to say, like, you're coming down from, like, the Big Ten. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you're saying exactly what I was thinking. Like, I'm assuming that they're going to be playing probably just as hard as anyone else as, like, on your team at Penn State. Like, it's not like they're going to try any harder, but it might be those, like, intangibles, like, you know, like physicality or height or whatever it may be. So,
yeah. This is going to be the last segment before we take a quick break. But so you're coming from Penn State, you know, Big Ten. You played some big minutes in some big games. You hit some clutch shots, I've seen. And now you're playing at FGCU. When you first got there, were you thinking, like, this is almost like my team because, you know, I played high major? Or what? Talk to me about what your mindset was going into that.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of my mindset going in, because there is that idea, like, you dropping down from high major to mid major, and it's like, should be killing, and I should be leading this team. But we had a deep team last year, a lot of older guys, so they were already like leaders in place. And honestly, when I first got there, it was like I was more of like a follower, you know what I'm saying, trying to get used to this new culture and stuff. So but yeah, after that, you know, once the season came and I started getting used to stuff, that's when I, you know, try to start leading more and stuff. But yeah, I feel like as a transfer, you kind of want to just take a step back a little bit and just see where everybody's coming from.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good answer, and that definitely makes sense. And we got a lot more to cover, talk about you playing at FGCU and much more. So stay with us while we take a quick break. All right, we're back. At FGCU this past year, you had a good year. You were third in the team in scoring, averaged double digits in the ASUN, which is a good conference. But I want to talk about one specific, like, game/moment. You hit the game winner against FAU, Florida Atlantic, and FAU was on a crazy run this past year. They were ranked 7th in the country at this time that you guys played them. So that's a big-time team, getting a lot of national attention. So just walk me through, like, that game, that play, what you saw, and a little about FGCU that night, because, you know, you guys are an ASUN team that just beat a top 10 team in the country.
Yeah, it was a crazy, great win, great team win. I think that was probably the best. Yeah, that was definitely the best home game we had. A lot of people showed up, a lot of fans, atmosphere was crazy. And just to think about it, it's like we beat the number 7 ranked team in the nation. So that definitely boosts our confidence a lot, just knowing what we could do as a team. But yeah, I mean, when it came down to the wire at the end, then we got into like a little boomer action. And my boy Zach, he said, "Yo, watch the switch. They switch, I'm gonna slip the screen, down screen, and then I'll be wide open." And that's exactly what happened. They switched, they both went towards him. And I was just wide open. So, I mean, yeah, that shot, That shot was money. I hit one before that too in the corner, so I was like, I was feeling it at that point. And I was just we were lit after that. Everybody stormed the court. It's just one of those wins that you'll never forget. You talk to your teammates about it forever, so.
One of the strongest parts of your game is shooting. You got a gun on you, so I'm just curious, how you're balancing the off-season workouts, trying to improve your bag, getting to the cup, scoring, but also like maintaining being able to shoot at a high clip.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's just reps. Just get in the gym, get my shots up. No matter what I work on, no matter how heavy I lift, like I always got the confidence that I can shoot the ball. So, I don't think that would ever leave. Just my ability to make shots and stuff. So, as long as I'm in the gym, just keep building that confidence. I know how hard I work, so. I mean, I've been working on a bunch of different stuff this off season though too. Just finishing, dribbling, trying to score off the bounce a lot more, because that's something I know I can do. I did it in high school, and kind of getting away from the player I was at Penn State, kind of just catch and shoot guy. You know what I'm saying? So just putting the ball on the floor more. That's what I've focused more on.
So that's actually pretty interesting you brought that up. I was listening to Pat Bev talk about this, like in the NBA, his off seasons, it's just strictly like sit in the corner and just like catch and shoot because he knows that's like his game. And that's similar to like kind of how you were playing at Penn State, like just be a catch and shoot guy. But I was wondering if like when you transferred, did you notice any difference? Because now he's about to play overseas and he's like, I got to be ready to take like step backs or come off a pick and roll and start dishing out or be able to score one on one. So did you notice like a big difference in how you were training?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I could always do, score off the dribble, but I feel like it just came down to roles. At Penn State, that was kind of my role, just catch and shoot. Because we had some good guards on the team that could handle the rock. They were gonna find me. I just gotta knock down a shot. So, but I've always been working on the other stuff. Just staying sharp, sharpening my game. I feel like that's what all NBA players really do, and you sometimes see some of them, like you would see them as a catch and shoot guy, but when they in runs or something, they doing all this dribbling and stuff, and it's like, yo, you can really hoop. So I think it's just roles, the role you play on a team, you got to buy into it and stuff. So I mean, that's what I've been doing my whole college career. So just whatever the team needs me to do to win, I'm gonna do it. So
It's just a quick point before I ask this next question. Like, I think with NBA players, especially, and even like some of like the high major guys too, it's like once you get to a certain age, it's like how much better can you really get at that point? It's just like you're saying, like sharpening the tools or sharpening the bag that you already got. You know what I mean? So, but my next question, so you're going to, this is your last year of college basketball, right? Or you have one more year?
Oh, this is my last year. Yeah, last year.
Your last year. So first, talk about like how you feel with that. Like you mentioned to us that you're locked in. So what should we expect from you? First, yourself. Like, what do you expect from yourself? And then second, what should we expect from FGCU this year?
Yeah, for myself, really just want to kind of be the player that I always thought I could be in college, and just kind of make that jump, have a breakout year, so that could set me up for a professional, the professional level, because I want to play basketball professionally. That's always been a dream. So, but for the team standpoint, I feel like definitely winning the ASUN, that's a ticket
Yep, the big
to the
dance. Get
tournament.
back to
So
there.
yeah, gotta get back there. Last shot at it, so just gonna pour everything I got into it, give it my all. So
We're locked in. We'll be
yeah,
watching.
appreciate that.
I could definitely see that, man. I mean, you averaged like you said, you were third on the team in scoring. If I'm not mistaken, you averaged like almost 12 a game last year. So definitely due for a big year. We rooting for you. But we usually like end these episodes like with whatever we do, like with a bigger than basketball question. And we, while we're doing research for this episode, like we read online that you're NAACP youth member, and you also like volunteered locally in Massachusetts, like as a part of campaigns to benefit cancer research. So I don't think I've like, you know, or KJ, like have talked to someone that has done something like this on the pod before. So like, I'm kind of interested to hear how you got involved with that. And like, if you kind of explain to the viewers, like what that's about.
Yeah. So there was in high school, the guy, Mike Slonina from ASFL, he reached out to me. ASFL is like a shop for life. It's like basically like cancer funding money for cancer research and stuff. So I did fundraising for that, and I think it was like a, it was almost like a shootout or something. The best shooters in Mass. I think that was my junior year, I want to say, of high school, and it was like a big event. I think I shot for like 2 hours. Almost straight, but had a couple breaks. But no, yeah, it was cool. I think I came in third. There's a lot of great shooters out there too. So, but really just for the bigger purpose, you know what I'm saying? Just, it was cool that I was able to, you know, fundraise money for that while also doing what I love, playing basketball. So just doing things like that, I feel like, just make me feel better as a person, better as a basketball player, and I would definitely, you know, do stuff like that in the future. So.
I got a lot of respect for that, bro. Keep doing what you're doing on the court, but also off the court, because you don't see, like, I mean, not to hate on nobody, but like high major guys, they're not always like involved in the community. They're just trying to like get to the league or something like that. So I got respect for someone that's willing to put the basketball to the side and like focus on something bigger. That's love. But we're going to end this episode with a little rapid fire and starting five edition. Let us know when you're ready for rapid fire.
All good. Let's go.
All right. First rapid fire question. Your favorite Vin story? Coach Vin from Rivals?
Oh, dang. Yeah. I mean,
because that Rivals team, y'all was nice that year. And you had, like, Coach Vin was a legendary coach in Mass, too.
Yeah, I just say whenever anybody did a behind-the-back dribble, he would just get so mad. He'd yell at you, like, oh, there goes that behind-the-back dribble, and everybody. And then you just get subbed out of the game because it's a turnover. I don't know why whenever somebody would try behind-the-back dribble, like in the lane or wherever, driving to the basket, it would get poked. And he would just be like, yep, go get him. Get out of the game. But, no, there's a lot of stories from then. I ain't going to lie. I could go on and on.
Who was like an older player, I guess, in Massachusetts that you remember like watching like growing up? Like, who was a player like, oh yeah, he was tough?
Terrence Mann.
Terrence Mann, tough.
Yeah, Terrence Mann, Bruce Brown. There were a couple of BABC guys that I looked up to when I was young. So,
and then last rapid fire question: what has been? I know you talked about Indiana; that was a crazy environment, but so far in the ASUN and Big Ten or even out of conference, what has been like your favorite away trip or away game that you like played in?
Favorite away trip. Yeah, I mean, I might have to go with, dang, I gotta say somewhere that where we caught a dub. I can't say nowhere we lost. We played LSU somewhere. I forget where it was though.
Like at a tournament or something?
Yeah, it was either Florida or, yeah, I think it was Florida actually. That's not Florida. We played them and we played OSU And I think we had no, I think we just played them too. But LSU was a close game. It was crazy. They had some guys on that team, and then we won in a blowout the other game. So I mean, that was a good trip. Yeah.
But we're gonna move to starting five edition. So if you're a coach assembling a lineup, point guard through center, who's your lineup gonna be? And this edition, you know, your game is a lot of shooting, so the best shooters you've played with?
I got to say, we had a lot of good shooters at Penn State. I'd say Seth Lundy.
He's at the one? Give me positions. Give me positions. Okay.
So
you can put yourself into. Nah, you could.
Okay. All right, then I'm going to put myself at the one.
Heard.
And then Andrew Funk at the two.
Yo, in the tournament, he went like 8 for 10 or something.
Yeah, from three. He went crazy.
That's wild.
And then put Seth Lundy 3, Miles Jed 4, or maybe 5. Because I can't think of no one else. That could be at like a 5 spot, but I mean, I guess I could throw Sam in there, Sam Sessions. Could throw
So move everybody down a position.
Yeah, probably put him at the one actually.
Heard you.
Then put me at the two. Funk, Seth, and then Miles.
Yeah, y'all gonna make any noise if that was a lineup?
Yeah, definitely.
But
I mean, it would be small ball, but we make it work.
I respect it. That's a good lineup. But that's going to do it for another episode of Not Even D2. We appreciate you getting on real quick. Definitely love from that. And definitely going to be watching you. Hopefully you go crazy this year. So keep grinding and looking forward to watching you go kill.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2. If you haven't already, make sure to go follow all the socials at Not Even D2. You can catch every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm your host, KJ Allison, and I'll see you next episode.